He's next.
Called
all right,
New
I'm
York
sing
Sports
now.
Here, the fan.
I've got to run to keep from high. And I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar. But I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Chris. Oh, I hit the falsetto on that one pretty good.
Sports radio.
Yeah. Yes, sir. 7:02. McMonagle in for McPherson tonight as we do our five-hour ride to midnight. So I got you for 5 hours, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We got Alex on the other side, Ack doing the updates. Good to see him. I had to sing off the air as well. I had to do the McMonagle song. It's been a while. But I got you for 5 hours here on this Thursday evening. Yes, no baseball, and it is a breath of fresh air, right? We need it. We need no baseball for a night. As much as I love this crap and I may move to England, I do need every once in a while to take a break from these two miserable baseball teams. We'll get into the football a little bit as Saturday preseason starts, who's playing, who's not playing, and all of that. But we're going to start with these two baseball teams because as much as I yelled, and I was just on not too long ago, if you're a night creature like me, if you're nocturnal like my kids call me, Daddy, you're nocturnal. I guess I am. If you're nocturnal like I am, you heard me earlier this morning and I was yelling about Juan Soto and I'm yelling about the Mets offense and how bad it is in the Fab Four. And make no mistake what the Fab Four means, the Mets are celebrating 60 years since the greatest concert in rock and roll history. It's at Shea Stadium 60 years ago, next Friday night. But we've yelled about the Fab Four and how underwhelming they've been in this offense. And who cares about the pitching? Yeah, they have pitching issues. And sure, you know, Montas stinks and the pitchers don't go more than five innings. And, the bullpen had its issues much, has been fixed in that department come the trade deadline. But the struggles of the Mets, this offense getting swept by the Cleveland Guardians, losing 8 of their last 9 off a 7-game winning streak, and how bad it's been to watch this Met offense be inept night after night. Juan Soto loafing for balls, smiling when he hits a home run that breaks up a no-hitter. But they still lose 4-1. All of that, as ugly as it's been, and God knows the New York Yankees, you want to talk about ugly, how ugly this New York baseball team has been. And so much on the manager, and I was with you. I've been a Boone defender, even I, watching this team play, watching how Friday night impacted them, the inability to get back up, even the manager and his feistiness with the media typically does the John Boy media interview, and it just, he sounds defeated and broken. The team looked defeated and broken coming off a 3-game winning streak against Tampa and the trade deadline, and they absolutely crapped the bed in Miami with one of the worst losses you'll ever see Friday night, and that broke them when everybody they acquired at the trade deadline failed. It broke them in many ways. And then obviously what's gone on with Devin Williams and the heat around this team that was at one point a half a game out of the postseason, or half a game into the postseason rather, and that win yesterday calmed a lot of seas and kept the Wolves at bay for a little bit. But as I look at this team's right now, as they head into the weekend series, and particularly their opponents, and I just can't help but think to myself, the reason we're so mad, the reason we're mad about the Fab Four and the Met offense, the reason we're so mad about this Yankee team is because despite their flaws, and there are many, certainly with the Yankees, we know and we believe they are better. When bad baseball teams play poorly, when bad baseball teams are bad, we might be disgusted, we might be fed up, we might be disgruntled, but we don't have the level of heartbreak and anger that you have when a team you believe in is failing. And I think as we get ready for this stretch now, a week into August, and both teams sitting in the third wild card spot, I think we recognize that the reason we're angry is that these teams should be better. And why I've been calling, possibly for Boone's job, because for the first time in his tenure, I believe he is dramatically underachieving with this group. And I know I can give you stats about run differential and most runs in the league, and you don't want to hear it. I get it. But those are indicators of good teams and good offenses, and this team has that. And you look at the Mets, despite a lousy offense, for a lot of the year and inability to hit with runners in scoring position. They have a lot of money in this team. Juan Soto is far better than this. Pete Alonso is the highest paid first baseman in the league this year. And his April and May shows you what he's capable of. We've been waiting for him to break this record at Daryl Strawberry. We know what these teams are capable of. They are far better than what they're giving us. And that's why we're angry. And that's why we're booing Juan Soto. And that's why we want the manager fired. And that's why we want Chavez fired. And that's why we're, you know, rooting for no hitters to get rock bottom and all the crap that's gone on with these two teams. Watching Devin Williams blow games and watching the managers sit there while it happens. Like, it shouldn't be this way. And as we look to this weekend, I particularly look at the opponents that the Yankees and Mets have coming up. And I think to myself, could this be the start of something different for these two teams? You look at the Mets going into Milwaukee. The Milwaukee Brewers are the best team in the sport right now, believe it or not. Milwaukee Brewers have been as hot as anyone. They've completely changed their pitching staff. They've been doing an incredible job. The offense, this team is playing like a team possessed. And over the last 2 months, they've been on fire. And right now, they are the best team in baseball. But for the Mets, you could look back to that wild card series last year where it all started. Yeah, they went on a run from the meeting. They went on a run from, you know, Lindor hitting leadoff and Grimace and OMG and all that. Yes, and they were the best team in baseball for a long stretch. But they were two outs away from going home against Milwaukee and the aforementioned Devin Williams. I look at this opponent. Get up for this game. This is the team you beat in the postseason. This is the team that is not better than you. This is a team playing better than you. This is a team with a better record than you. This is a team going in the right direction as opposed to you going in the wrong direction, but they are not better than you. Go back to the playoff pumpkin. Go back to Alonso's big moment against what at the time was one of the best relievers in baseball. That's hard to say now. Take the opportunity to prove to yourself, to the fan base, to the rest of baseball, that, yeah, we've been struggling, and yes, it's been ugly offensively, but we believe what we continue to tell the media. We believe what we continue to tell anyone who will listen, that we are better than this, that the guys in this room are better. And I look at this series coming up against Milwaukee, a quick three-game road trip before heading back home. Take this opportunity to get galvanized and get pissed off and look to make a statement against the team you beat in the postseason last year. A team you know very well, a team that galvanized you to the point where you went on to beat the Philadelphia Phillies and went all the way to game 6 of the NLCS against the future champion Los Angeles Dodgers. I love that the opponent is Milwaukee because it's not about who the Mets play. It's not about who they play or who's better than them or the tough schedule, as we'll get into tough schedules when it comes to football, and then the end of the Yankee schedule is a lot easier and everything. Schedules don't matter with both of these teams right now because we have seen them. They are clearly better than Cleveland. They're certainly better than the San Francisco Giants, who they swept the last time I saw them and who gave up on their, you know, all their best arms in the bullpen. It doesn't matter. As good as Marlins are, the Yankees are better than the Marlins. These teams, it's not about who they play. It's about them. Go get up against the Milwaukee team that you proved you were better than last year, that sparked your playoff run, that awoken Pete Alonso, that you got off the deck on death's door and found a way to make a run to the NLCS. This is the opponent you want right now. This is the kind of opponent. Play up to your competition and go tell the Milwaukee Brewers that they're having a nice little story out in Milwaukee, but they are not the New York Mets. And then you get to the Yankees and their opponent as the nemesis comes in, as the Houston Astros, who have owned them since 2015. Wild card in 15, ALCS 17, 19, 22. Absolutely own the New York Yankees. I was listening today, Evan and the afternoon crew debating what it would be if they beat them in a wild card series. Would it be revenge? Yes, it would be revenge whenever you beat the Houston Astros. And coming off of that win, coming off of that performance from Bednar, yes, it could just be one game in the midst of a lousy season where it's going in the obvious direction it's been going since the end of May. Maybe. Or maybe it's a moment where this bullpen that has been fixed, in my estimation, at the trade deadline, I know we want to poo-poo it now, I believe that was a damn good trade deadline from Brian Cashman. I believe Bednar can help this team a lot. I think Doval can help this team a lot. I think McMahon, Rosario, I think so much talk about the roster construction. I heard Mike talking about it today. For all the talk about the roster construction, there are a lot of good hitters in this lineup. They are deep. They have the best bench they've had. I mean, I don't know. Like, let's be honest, it's probably wrong, but when I feel like this might be the best bench they had on an everyday basis, considering Stanton's on the bench, or you have Goldschmidt on the bench, or you have Rice on the bench, or you have Dominguez on the bench, you have Rosario on the bench, you have Caballero on the bench at times, you know, not all at once, but you get what I'm saying. Like, that's as good a bench as they've had since 1996. Like, I know that's probably hyperbole, and you could probably, you know, right now go on your computer and find a better bench, but it feels like that's how it has been forever. Since teams had a bench this good. I believe in this roster. I believe in this team. As badly as they're playing, I do believe they are better than this. So coming off of that win, coming off the emotion that Bednar showed on the mound, coming off the idea that they have stabilized the roster, in my estimation, to come back home against a different but still similar Houston Astros team that has struggled. And are 4-6 in their last 10. They did win the last series against Miami, but they were swept by Boston. They didn't play well against the A's a week ago. They have not been, after taking control of this division, they have not played well the last 2 weeks. You're getting a big pitching advantage for Houston. You got Brown and Valdez in these first two games before going to your ace, Fried, who needs to start pitching like an ace again. In the third game of the series. But get up for Houston. Can we see this team? Because so much of this has been this team's demeanor. And that's why, for me, I've taken a turn on Aaron Boone, not because of accountability, like everybody likes to say. I get it. I know. Accountability. Everybody loves the word. I know. It's the new analytics. Analytics, accountability, these are the most important words in baseball. I get it. I don't blame the manager when Wells doesn't know how many outs there are. I don't blame the manager when Jazz Chisholm gets picked off of first base on a pop-up to second. I know many of you want to. That's fine. We can have that debate another time. But I start to blame the manager when I feel the team is underachieving and I watch them and they don't get up for games and they feel defeated after bad losses and the manager has no idea what to do and he's giving an interview where he sounds defeated. That's when I start to look at whether or not he's putting this team in the right mind frame and the right mindset to go out there and attack. And I don't care what happened before. I don't care about the history of this franchise and whether or not Hal's his father or Cashman has a free pass for life or anything other than this team right now heading into this weekend against the team that if they don't see this jersey and get pissed off and get motivated to go out there and win a series against this Astros team, and I know the team's different, and Bellinger doesn't know the heartbreak, and Goldschmidt doesn't know the heartbreak, and Cam Schlittler doesn't know the heartbreak, or Warren doesn't know the heartbreak, but there are plenty of guys in that room who do. There are plenty of guys in that room who know what the Houston Astros mean to this Yankee franchise since 2015. A decade owned by the Houston Astros. It is time to put everything else aside. Don't care that they blew a 7-game divisional lead. Don't care that they got swept by Toronto in a 4-game set. Don't care that the Boston Red Sox have come up and passed them and are playing much better baseball than they are. Don't care about any of that. That's in the past, man. I don't care about any of it. I look at this team and I see a team better than what they've been playing. I look at this roster, this bullpen, this lineup, and I see a team that's better than what they've been for the last 2 months. And I look at an opportunity off a day off in arguably one of the bigger wins of the season to at least not come home out of the playoffs on the outside looking in to a Texas Rangers team that just swept you. Like, that win doesn't change everything, but in so many ways, it feels so much different as opposed to coming home to take on the Astros off of a sweep, off of losing a playoff spot. They're a game and a half up. They have now taken the tiebreaker over Texas. They have the tiebreaker over Seattle. they're still in a position to go accomplish everything they want to. Take the day, enjoy the flight home, show up at Yankee Stadium, and find a way to get up and go play good, clean, crisp baseball. As we saw at times over the last, like, we saw it yesterday. We saw Anthony Volpe play really good baseball, really good defense. We saw the team steal bases and force the issue and have the other team throw the ball into left field that leads to a run. Go out there, take it to the Houston Astros, find a way to get up for this series and beat your nemesis, and maybe, just maybe, for both of these teams, whether it's the Mets beating the best team in baseball on the road, a team they beat last year in the postseason, an opportunity to prove they are part of the class of this National League that's so much better than the American League, or it's the New York Yankees who have an opportunity off a day off, off of one of their biggest wins of the year, or for the one of the more emotional wins of the year, watching Bednar go out there and get a five-out save. They have an opportunity to take a day off, take a deep breath, figure out who they are, who they want to be, and go take on their nemesis. And I'll tell you this, for all the crap, for all the nonsense, for all the way we feel about this team, they go out there and play well against Houston and take two or three, or dare I say win all three games, and they beat Brown and they beat Valdez. And we see Max Fried pitch like an ace again. And we see this bullpen now that Devin Williams is out of any sort of major role in it at all. If they go out there and beat the Houston Astros, we're going to feel a lot better about them. We're going to feel a lot different about them. It doesn't cure everything. It doesn't mean that the season's, you know, a cakewalk from here on out. But it's followed by the Minnesota Twins. And I don't care what's going on in Yankee land. The Minnesota Twins are the Twins. The Yankees always beat them no matter how good they are, and they just sold away their entire team. Take care of the Astros, do what you do against the Twins, and a week removed from a lousy five-game losing streak in Miami and Texas, we might feel a hell of a lot different about this team. Now is the time. Now is the time. And they're lined up against the right opponent to go out there and make a statement. Or fall on their face. Which one will we see this weekend? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So a little bit of baseball from the Yankees and Mets to get started. We'll get into the football as well. We'll talk to Kevin Kiernan of Baseball 9. We'll get a little thoughts on the Yankees and Mets as they head into this important stretch, clearly. We'll get into some football and have some fun as we take it for the next 4 hours and 20 minutes or so, 40 minutes or so.
Real sports talk for real fans with real opinions. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 7:26. McMonagle here with you. Filling in for Keith tonight. So I got you till midnight. 888-808-1019, taking your calls, open with the baseball. And look, I mean, there's reason to be positive as much as there's reason to be negative. Like, and I shouldn't say as much, there's probably more reason to be negative. They just haven't, you know, got it together. But I still look at both of these teams as underachieving in my mind. Like, it's not that they're bad teams. That's how I feel about it. I know many Yankee fans feel different. I know many Yankee fans who hate Brian Cashman and things will never change until Cashman and Hal are gone and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's fine. And I'm not, and I know I'm blah, blah, blahing it, but there's truth to it. There's obviously an issue inside the Yankees on some level. They haven't won in a long time, but I'm not into fixing the entire Yankee organization today. I know maybe you guys think that that needs to happen like right now, and maybe it does. But I look at this team, and the Mets for that matter. No one thinks the Mets are broken in any way organizationally. But whatever we want to say about this Yankee team, be honestly, you don't think it's good enough to go out there and be better than this? Now, to win a championship, I don't know. Right? Probably, you know, I'm sure not many Yankee fans think they're capable of winning a championship, and they haven't shown you that ability. There's no doubt. Not this year's team. But they're as good as anybody in the American League. Like, I just, I look at this team. I don't see a team that should be this bad. I see a team that should be far better. Aaron Boone even said in his interview with John Boy, like, the weird thing is I think this could be as good a team as I've had as the Yankee manager. As crazy as that sounds, I don't think it's wrong. I really don't. I think they are about as good. Like, there's no reason this team shouldn't be the same team that was up seven games at the end of May. Matter just doing it. And maybe Devin Williams not blowing games helps, because, I mean, you could literally point. If they had another closer, and I typically don't do this because people will say this, oh, they blew this many games in the bullpen. If they'd fix that, you know, yes, but every closer will blow saves, no matter who you have in your closer role. You know, even Mariano blew saves during the regular season. So, like, whoever was closing for the Yankees, they were going to blow some saves. That's how it works. But, I mean, he's blown multiple four-run lead games and three-run lead games. I mean, he's been just... You could point to Devin Williams and say they should be five games better just based on anybody else being the closer as opposed to Devin Williams. Hopefully they've fixed that problem and Boone's got that out of his head. And now they move forward here for this last stretch. The schedule does get easy. They end the season with, like, the White Sox and Baltimore. They got the Minnesota Twins coming up after Houston. This should be a good stretch for the New York Yankees. It starts now. And the same for the Mets. This is an opportunity to go take on the best team in baseball and prove who you are. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. John and Brick. What's up, John?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Chris.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
Listen, all day long, I'm off today from work, so I'm listening to every segment, right?
Yep.
Fire boom, fire boom,
fire boom, boom. Fire boom.
Okay, so last night, he leaves Bednar in for a five-out save.
Mm-hmm.
You know, risky, right? He gives up that game. Boone smeared today, even 100%. Worse than he already was.
100%.
Okay. He also pinch hits Goldsmith.
Mm-hmm.
Goldsmith hits the game-winning home run.
Yep.
Not a word.
No.
I'm just saying, not a word.
I understand. Look, I've been making this argument for a long time, John. I don't know if you have the opportunity to listen to me in the morning. I am the Yankee shill. I am the Boone apologist, the Cashman apologist. Like, I think he gets way, way too much flack. And your argument specifically about, like, because I've asked Yankee callers who were just, Boone's the worst. He's the worst in-game manager I've ever seen, blah, blah, blah. I go, all right, so he's cost us 10 games this year at least. They'll say ridiculous things like that. And I'll go, all right, so give me one game in Boone's tenure where you think he made a move that helped them win the game. And they're like, I can't think of any. And I'm like, well, let me ask you something. The guy's been the manager for 8 years. Do you honestly think that Aaron Boone has never, not once, made a decision that helped the Yankees win a game? Like, do you honestly think that? Do you think in all the years that he's been the manager, he's never once made a positive move, never once done something that specifically helped them win the game? The answer is, of course he has. The reason you don't remember it is because nobody gives a damn. When the players win, they're supposed to do that. When you bring in a reliever and he gets three outs, he's supposed to do that. When the lineup you put together, no matter how different it is or how much it's called a punt lineup before the game started, they're supposed to score runs. The manager, specifically with the New York Yankees, the players win, Aaron Boone loses. That has been the truth about how he is viewed and how the Yankees are viewed his entire tenure. That's just a fact. I will still say that no matter what anybody says to me. Players win, Aaron Boone loses. Plain and simple. It's his fault for putting me in that spot. It's never his, you know, we don't give him credit. We don't give him credit ever. He only gets credit. He only gets blamed for the losses. So I'm with you. And last night he had a good game. The pinch hit of Goldschmidt, you're 100% right, won them the game. Sticking with Bednar despite, you know, letting Bednar talk him out of it. Absolutely. And you're 100% right. If Bednar gives it up in that spot, we're killing him. I heard Jerry this morning. I said the same thing earlier in the morning. We kill Terry Collins. Kill him for leaving in Matt Harvey in the World Series game. Kill him. That's the bottom line with managers. It's got to work. If it doesn't work, it was a stupid decision. Plain and simple. If it doesn't work, outside of putting Mariano in the ninth or something, like if it doesn't work, it was a dumb decision. Last night it worked, so Boone was smart. Boone had guts. Boone had balls. We're giving him some credit, amazingly enough. At least Marash was. I'll give him credit. But no one cares. No one cares. But having said that, he's done a terrible job this year. Even I have to admit that. Forget all the other stuff. And again, I don't get hung up. We could talk about the organization and fundamentals and through the farm system and all that. Fine. But that's a conversation for a different day as they're struggling to hang onto a wild card spot in August. I don't want to have that conversation. I don't think it's that relevant to this team right now. I really don't. I know you guys think it is. It's not. Go out there and play clean baseball. They're capable of it. We've seen these guys. They have good defenders outside of maybe Jason Dominguez. These guys are better than this. Whatever you think of Volpe, he won a gold glove, whether you think he deserved it or not. They don't give it to terrible defenders. He's better than this. But even I would tell you that Aaron Boone has not done a good job this year. They are underachieving, and they feel broken after big losses. And Friday night, it felt like the entire team was just feeling sorry for itself. It's his job to make sure they don't feel sorry for themselves. That's when I start to get on a manager. The vibe of the team, the ability to fight back, the ability to handle tough losses and handle the criticism of New York and be able to play good baseball, that's on the manager. How many outs there are in extra innings or in the ninth inning when you're at second base with two outs. I don't put it on the manager that you should know there's two outs. Call me crazy. I feel like this personal, we want to hold everybody accountable except the players. We want to hold Brian Cashman, Hal Steinbrenner, and Aaron Boone accountable, but not Wells. But even I, the Boone apologist, would tell you he's done a terrible job this year. And I honestly think if they lost that game, it might have got loud enough where the Yankees might have done something they don't want to do. Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's going on? Speaking of Wells, if Aaron Judge has to move to first base next year, mm-hmm. if this elbow injury is significant enough, then the Yankees have an interesting decision on Rice and or Wells. I mean, who are you going to make your catcher going forward? And if you're going to say Wells, then what do you do with Rice? And I would think that he would be on the trading block. And yeah. He would have a lot of value, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of value.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I don't know what they would do. Again, this whole thing is starting off with the premise that Aaron Judge isn't going to be in the outfield. He's going to be at first base next year. I don't know that to be true. I think there's a chance eventually that happens. We'll see what this elbow injury is. But it's because of the elbow injury, at least the conversation is plausible on some level. I'm ready at the point, I'll be totally honest with you, I'm ready at the point right now where I think at least, at best, it should be 50-50 at the catcher position right now between Wells and Rice. Like, Rice has shown me
Wells
enough.
Wells has not hit all
he's
year.
He
didn't hit late last year either, by the way.
Well, no, in the postseason he didn't. And I don't know, I can't remember the last final weeks or so, but
August and September didn't hit either.
I don't know about August. I'd have to go back and look because in my memory, moving him to the cleanup spot was what changed the offense. They had J.D. Davis hitting cleanup. They had a miserable lineup, and Wells took that cleanup role and had like a 900 OPS for a long extended time. He was top three in the rookie of the year. So he struggled at the start of the year. I'll double check, Steve. I feel like you're wrong about August. I feel like he was better than that, but in the postseason he wasn't, and this year he hasn't hit all year. There's no doubt about it. He has been a massive disappointment following his rookie season. There's no doubt. And I am at the point now where I would play Rice. I would catch Rice, if not more, at least equal to the amount of time I catch Wells. Rice has looked fine behind the plate. He hasn't killed them. So I'm at that point. That's how bad he's been offensively, and you're trying to get all these guys in the lineup. You're trying to get your best bats in the lineup, and Rice can catch. But as far as next year, which again, I don't want to be dismissive, I'm not interested in next year at the moment. But yeah, they'd have to make a decision on whether they view Ben Rice as a catcher. If Judge has to play first, which would throw a monkey wrench into the whole what they're going to do next year, because I think they're either thinking Ben Rice can be their first baseman. There's the Japanese superstar that reports at the end of this offseason that he was going to be the big target of next offseason. But maybe that makes sense. Maybe you move Judge off of the outfield and go get Tucker and Bellinger. You re-sign Bellinger. You go bring in Tucker. You move Judge to first. He'll hate it. But you might have to do it. And then you're right. There's a discussion about Wells, and they would have to ask themselves how they feel about Ben Rice as a catcher. But you're not wrong. He's got value. He hits the ball hard, plain and simple. He hits the ball hard. He's had a really good year. Lou in Astoria. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Big Mac, thank you for taking the call. How are you?
You got it, buddy. Good. How are you?
Are you serious? You're comparing this Yankee team to what year, 1996?
I said it's as good a bench as I can remember since 1996, yes.
When we have, I don't know where you're coming from with that, but we have a Justin Fielder, Darryl Starberry.
Yes, I didn't say it's better. I didn't say it's better. That bench was better. I'm not saying it's better than that.
Big Mac.
I'm comparing every bench since.
As far as the team is concerned, we have players, about five players hitting over 300 in 1996.
It was a different sport. Yeah. The batting averages don't...
Yeah, I get it, but you're going with a different sport. But this year, right now, I'm a Yankee fan, and I used to tell you, I'm sick for my son because he thinks I'm not a Yankee fan because right now, and I want you to answer me this, what change will you make to make this team a better team? Aaron Boone is getting a product that, you know what? If he managed the Joe Torre team of the 1990s, it'll be a different story. Joe Torre managed this team today, he will be a loser. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't disagree. Listen, it's about the teams. We all agree. Joe Torre was a loser before he came here. Clueless Joe was the headline of the paper, famously. Like he was a failed manager with the Mets, with the Cardinals, with the Braves. And then he came here and had the dynasty team and won. I think obviously you need good players to win. And I've said that before. That's why, like, when we talk about Boone holding players accountable, do you think he would ruin that 90s team? Do you think Derek Jeter needed the accountability of Joe Torre, which again, I mean, the king of accountability, Joe Torre? Do you think Derek Jeter, Paul O'Neill, Tino Martinez needed Joe Torre as their manager to hold themselves accountable and play to a standard? Like, do you think Aaron Boone would be the manager of that team and ruin them? I completely agree with you. But again, stop looking at batting average. Just stop. Just stop, because go find me the team that has a bunch of guys with 300. Good luck. It's OPS. That's the number. And the Yankees have as many guys with an above-average OPS as anybody else, if not more. They've got Bellinger with an 8, and they got as many guys hit with an 800 OPS as anybody else. And they've led the league in runs scored. Like, I know we want batting average. It's a different world. There aren't a lot of guys who hit for average. And I'm not comparing them to the 96 team. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm saying that I feel like the bench has a lot of options off the bench. When's the last time you felt like this? There were that many good pinch hitters? When was the last time you felt like you could pull a Goldschmidt off the bench to hit against a left-handed pitcher? When's the last time you felt like you could pull a Ben Rice off the bench to hit a right-handed pitcher late? Like, when's the last time you had a Stanton on the bench? When's the last time you felt like there was enough, like, legitimately good options to go pinch hit late in games? I just haven't felt like that in a while. And I know it's probably hyperbole and probably not accurate to say it's the best since 96, but I'm just saying it feels like right now there are guys to pull off the bench late in games to give good at-bats, where I haven't felt like that in a long time. I didn't feel like last year's team had that. When did last year's team have someone you could pinch hit late in the game that you felt good about against a lefty? They bring in a tough lefty reliever. Oh, I got Goldschmidt hitting 400 against lefties on the bench. That's nice. When's the last time they had that? I'm not saying they're better than Tim Raines and Wade Boggs and, you know, Darryl Strawberry and Cecil Fielder. I'm not saying they're better than that. I'm just saying I can't remember the last time they had a bench as good as that team. They've got legitimate options off the bench. Frank in Manhattan. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Chris. What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
I'm 65 years old. I've been watching Mets baseball for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that if the Fab Four don't hit, they don't win.
Bingo.
You can't rely on that. Can't rely on that. You gotta have other guys that can hit.
No, but that's letting them off the hook for being terrible. Like, that's letting the Fab Four off the hook. You can rely on that. You can rely on four hitters in a lineup. You can. You absolutely can.
You can, but one of the four or two of the four may go in a slump.
But all the four are struggling. All four of them aren't doing their job well enough. That's the point. Like, yeah, I'm just saying, you can win. The Yankees had two hitters last year, went to the World Series. Like, you can.
I know that. But it seems to me, as a Mets fan, that if Nemo, Lindor, Soto, they don't hit, the team don't win. And the fact of the matter is, you know what burns me up the most?
Mm-hmm.
The other couple of games ago, Lindor pulls off a bunt, It went to Dominic Smith. You know, that was a great idea to punt. Why don't they do a little bit more of that instead of going 31 for 31 and stolen base? Okay, now you got a man, you got a runner who steals second. They say the 31 for 31. Okay, now what are you doing to get him to third? They don't do nothing after that. They don't do nothing.
I guess. I'm sorry, Frank, man. Back-to-back calls, we're talking about, you know, batting average and bunting. I get it. I know. I wish it was, you know, I wish it was Mickey Willie and the Duke. I really wish it were. I wish it were the 1950s and 1960s. I do. I wish we can go. I wish there was a chicken in every pot. And I do. I do. But, like, when you can't, my only issue is, like, not that you're wrong. Right, not that they steal bases, get the second, bunt them over to third every once in a while. I'm not saying that's wrong or it's stupid or they shouldn't do that. I'm just saying you can't point to it as the reason they're losing when nobody does it anymore in baseball. They don't do that. You don't bunt. You don't give up outs. They feel differently about it. They don't want to give up outs. And let's be honest, the first game of this Cleveland series, yes, he had a 3-run home run. Alonso's up with a runner on third. And all he has to do is put the ball in play. Strikes out. And you just said they only got four good hitters. Who do you want to bunt to? You want to bunt guys over to get to a 7-8 or 9 hitter? Like, are you playing for one run in every situation? Sure, more of it late in games. You know, you're up one run in the eighth. You want to make it two. I get it. There are times. The other day, like just yesterday's game with the Yankees, Dominguez walks to lead off the inning, and I'm screaming, take a pitch, let him steal second, maybe you bunt him over to third, try and get that extra run late in the game. Okay, but like you make it sound like that'll solve the offense. It's not going to solve the offense. And yeah, the four hitters, you can carry a team with four guys. You paid him $765 million. You can't turn around and go, well, you can't rely on him. What do you mean? Of course I can. I have to. You have to. So, like, it's taking those guys off the hook. It's not one guy. It's not, like, people complain it's just Judge. The offense sucks. All right, but, like, if you want to make it that it's just Aaron Judge and nobody else hits, which I wouldn't agree with, but at least, all right, you can't rely on one guy. Sure. They're paying $30 million to Pete Alonso. Lindor got a $300 million contract. Soto got the biggest contract in the history of professional sports. Like, yeah, you can rely on them to be better. Then I'll steal it. Why not? Then Juan Solo. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. Back with your calls on the two baseball teams. And sure, you know, we could talk bunting, small ball, choking up on the bat, hit and run, whatever you want to talk about.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 7:52. McMonagle here with you. We'll get to football in a little bit, and obviously the news out of Jet Camp from Aaron Glenn is that the starters are going to play. Well, the starters are playing right now. Or at least they're playing football right now, the Colts against the Ravens, and Anthony Richardson is already out of the game. I mean, this kid, I feel for him, man. He cannot stay healthy. Apparently, it's a finger issue. Now, look, it's preseason, and I didn't see the play, but apparently he got blindsided. I don't know if it's a major injury or just one enough where it's preseason, so why bother? We'll find out, but it's, I mean... We are going to see Daniel Jones as the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. Get ready for it. This kid can't stay healthy. I feel for him. He's got immense talent and potential, but he just cannot stay on the field. And he's already out of the game with a finger injury. Daniel Jones is in there. And, like, this is the fear, right? This is that dynamic. And I know, you know, you want the guys to play. And clearly Aaron Glenn has talked about competition, right? Competition, building culture. And we've seen teams get off to terrible starts when they don't play. We've seen certain teams. Some teams are fine with it. Some teams have struggled, and it feels like it's because they haven't hit that much. The tackling sucks the first couple weeks of the season. You know, teams, you know, really, it's a detriment to the teams that they don't play in preseason enough and mesh enough, and especially both teams here having new quarterbacks trying to mesh. And I would suspect Russell Wilson will play a little bit more than maybe some other times in his career or other quarterbacks for the Giants in the last few years have played in the preseason. Maybe not. We'll see. But this is the fear. As much as you want to get something together, as much as you want to play, the fear is you get these injuries. And especially an offensive line group, right, that you know hasn't had a lot of time to mesh, although the Jets should have a good offensive line this year. You get a quarterback blindsided. Now, I don't know what the drop-off is, to be totally honest with you, between Justin Fields and the backup here, because obviously, you know, they have a veteran, you know, backup who's played in a ton of games for a ton of teams and started in this league and, you know, came in for the Giants and played very well too. So I don't know what the right answer is, but it scares me. And I feel bad for Anthony Richardson, man. But get ready, Giant fans. We are going to see Daniel Jones play a lot of football for the Indianapolis Colts this year. And I feel for Colt fans. 888-808. Do I think Daniel Jones is better and has the opportunity to be better than he was with the New York Giants? Of course I do. I think he's got talent to be better. And the Giants did him no favors in any way. But I can tell you this, and maybe it's part of my optimism, as we'll get into the Slater injury to the Chargers and the Giants schedule and everything as we get into a little bit of football later. And I think schedules are overblown here. And, you know, the trade demands from star players from both Washington and Dallas as the Giants will look to start on the road against both those teams at the beginning of the year. Part of my optimism is, and I know this sucks and it's unfair to him, the weight of the Daniel Jones era being finally off our backs. It feels fantastic. Did you see? Is it the Anthony Richards injury?
Yeah, it does not look good.
No? Finger? That's what I read.
It's just pointing a different way.
Oh! Throwing hand?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, man. This poor guy. But I'm as a Giant fan, I wish Daniel Jones well. I really do. I don't think it would bother me if he plays well. It wasn't going to happen here. I know that for a fact. And I'm kind of just relieved that it's over. And we don't have to have that discussion anymore. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Gary in Waterbury. What's up, Gary?
Yeah, Richardson got lit up LT style. Ugh. Blindside. Yeah, he got pancaked badly. I saw it live. He got smashed. And he's fragile to begin with. But that's besides the point. C-Mac the knife. Well, the shark bite. With his teeth, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Dominguez should lead off every night.
I disagree. Not against left-handed pitching. I disagree with you.
You got to give him a chance. That's his best spot.
No.
All right.
Against left-handed pitching, as a right-handed hitter, he's not very good. I want to have someone who gets on base. Right. I'm trying to win games. I'm not trying to develop Jason Dominguez.
I understand. That's fine. All right. Putting Stan in the outfield would be a colossal mistake.
I don't think they're going to do. I agree with you.
That would be a colossal mistake. And Williams cannot be the closer at any point.
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't care what he does from now. He cannot be the closer at any point going forward.
No, I agree, Gary. The closer days are over. That's for sure. They have too many options. You know how many guys would have to fail? Like, literally, without – the obvious three would have to fail at the closer role. You'd have to – Bednar, Doval, and Weaver would all have to fail before they would even consider going back to Williams. Don't worry about it. I know they threw him the other night in the eighth inning. Williams is done as the closer. That's for sure. Is he done pitching in spots that you might deem high leverage or important? No. I don't think he is. I think that's a legitimate question because last year – when Clay Holmes lost his closer role, they didn't just immediately go to mop-up duty with him. Like, they didn't. They still continue. He blew a save after he was taken out of the closer role. And they worked with him and they stuck with him. And then guess what? They got 9 scoreless innings out of him in the postseason to start his postseason run. and he was critical for them in the American League postseason series against Kansas City, against Cleveland. He was great. He was the first guy out of the bullpen. He was cleaning up the messes made by the starting pitcher in the fifth and sixth inning. Clay Holmes was very, very good for the Yankees and important for the Yankees in the postseason. And I am curious whether or not they are going to have the same plan for Devin Williams. Now, clearly they have more options than they had last year in the bullpen with the additions of Doval and Bednar, but I could still see trying more than just mop-up duty. That might be where it starts here. We still have 2 months. It might start in mop-up duty, but I wouldn't be surprised, knowing, you know, the history of this pitcher and how good he's been in his career and how the numbers on that changeup still were pretty damn good. I believe that one of his changeups this year is ranked as the filthiest pitch thrown by any pitcher in the sport this season. And I know that doesn't mean anything. I'm not trying to impress you with that. I'm just saying I think they will believe in that changeup on some level, and I'm curious to whether or not they just give up on him or they still try and work with him and eventually bring him back into the seventh inning, into bigger spots, and try and do what they did with Clay Holmes last year. Or do they just say Devin Williams is broken, it's different than Clay Holmes, you know, this is a just doesn't have it, not comfortable here, never going to work here? Or do they try and do what they did with Clay Holmes last year? Because what they did with Clay Holmes last year paid major dividends. No one wants to give the Yankees or Boone credit for it, but it paid major dividends in the postseason. And I'm curious to see how they handle Devin Williams. But as far as closer, don't worry about it. He is done in the closer role. And I think at least for a while, he is done in any significant moment of any game whatsoever. I think that was the last straw. Now all the pitchers are acclimated. You've got Leiter back and back pitching. You're going to have Cruz come back. They're done with, and Cruz might have to fail as closer before you get back to Devin Williams. So that the era of Devin Williams as the closer for the New York Yankees is over. I still think we might eventually see him in some more high leverage spots than you would like, but we'll see.